For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
All right, so I'm Phil Frank, and this is Sherry Fohas, and we're leading your workshop here. Woo! That was all right. So we'll just be kind of toggling back and forth here. Just by way of background on this church, now there's a lot of Xenos folk here, so I'll go pretty quick through this. On your sheet here, background. You can read that as I'm talking. So it's pretty amazing when you consider that two former atheist teenage / college students really started a Bible study on campus back in the 70s in this house, that Xenos, in 1978. So it's incredible. And so some of the things that we're going to talk about here are today in this workshop are things that have animated really the incredible ministry that God has done here, and he gets all the credit. We sometimes sit back and scratch our head and think, this is incredible. It had to be God that did this, because we're intimately aware of our own weaknesses and shortcomings. So God in his mercy has brought a lot of people to Christ. In fact, you've got some numbers on your sheet there. So, you know, from a group of 40 to 50 students, there's over 5,000 in attendance now. And that fourth bullet point, over the past 12 months, 6,200 first-time guests to home church. We count all of that. We do count and see who's coming out to home churches. That's incredible. And at least so far in the last 12 months, 500 known salvations. Oh my God, that is so sweet. 500 people transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son, as it says in Colossians 1. So we're just humbly grateful for what God is doing here. It's really sweet, and we thank him. So we're going to talk about some of the things that kind of animate outreach ministry here at Xenos. I see a lot of you are young. A lot of this has to do, well, some of it's really any age. Some of it's old, some of it's young. So yeah, you just tune in and out at will. So we're going to look at two focuses, heart issue and practices. Everybody wants to get to the tools, the practices. Tell me the things that you do. I am looking for a silver bullet to fix evangelism in our church. And if you do that without addressing heart issues, it has a tendency to backfire, really. And you get all hyped up about some new tool, and then maybe it doesn't work exactly the way you wanted it to, and then you just forget about tools. A lot of times at the heart and soul of our evangelism problems are heart issues in us. And so that's where we want to start these two things here today. Let's talk a little bit. Let's get you guys talking about this. Problems that you have in trying to reach people for Christ. This is your turn to just kind of come out with some, we don't need, you know, a huge sermon, but just kind of bullet point style. What are some of the problems that you run into trying to reach people for Christ? Yeah.
Fear of rejection.
Fear of rejection. Anyone else on that? You're alone, buddy. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
They don't want to be seen like the weirdo at work.
Okay.
The view of other people, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Similar. Yeah.
Fear of not knowing enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes that's founded, sometimes it's not. Isn't it interesting how young Christians can have some of the most effective witness, and they don't really know very much. But yeah, good. Others, yeah.
Maybe you guys, because you're in a comfort zone and you don't want to get out of it.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. And the older and grayer you get, the more that becomes tempting. comfort. Yeah.
Apathy.
Yeah, like you forget why, mm-hmm. kind of. Yeah, good.
I think there's a lot of fear of being misunderstood, like my intent.
Others? Well, yeah.
Maybe an age difference at work.
Oh, age difference. Okay. I didn't think of that one. They might not take you seriously. Well, I put 13 of these together, and some of them really overlap with some of the things that you guys said already. So, yeah, that's a big one. Fear of negative responses and rejection from friends. So this is interesting, too, for you students here, is that a lot of times in college, you know, you can talk to some people and stuff like that, and if you get some rejection going or something like that, it's okay because, you know, your psychology 101 class is going to be over. Next quarter you're in psychology 201 or whatever it is. But the older people get, and yes, you young folks will get old too. Oh my God. It'll happen. Is that your worlds, for the most part, tend to get smaller. And you're around a lot of the same people more often, too. So this whole thing of risk of rejection looms larger and larger for people as they age. Not up to the energy output it'll take to win them. I'm so busy looking for Pokemon. So distracted with the world and the affairs of everyday life. Man, when you guys graduate from college, you think this won't hit you, but it will. The temptation will hit you like a ton of bricks just to have the world right there to pursue. I have some gnawing doubts about basic Christianity, you know? It'd be pretty hard to tell other people about Christ if I've got some doubts that are just, yeah, they're really tripping me up. Number five, I cling to a significant unyielded pattern of gross sin. Well, I've seen that before where someone who was really on fire for Christ and wanted to share their faith and then got wrapped up in something that was some pretty heavy-duty moral problems and then just, you know, that's the end of their desire to share their faith. I'm sick of being guilted into it, all right? Yes, I'm an introvert. And would you guys get off my back? Because I don't like the guilt. I struggle to know what it really is. What is evangelism? My church's methods are bizarre, ineffective, and even harmful. So, I'm too shy. I'm not cut out for it. I'm a lousy communicator. There never seems to be the right opportunity. Does anyone else ever, have you ever struggled with that one? There never seems to, just wait for the perfect opportunity. This is so important to talk about Christ that I don't want to mess it up. So I got to wait for the right opportunity. And then days, weeks, months go by, even years in my case where I was a young guy at work and it was like I was constantly waiting for the right opportunity. And then it was just at a certain point weird for me to turn around and say, hey, I've been working across the hall from you for 3 years, and did I ever mention the most important thing in my life? You know, so being too perfectionistic about it, waiting for the right opportunity. We forget who our real foe is. Sometimes people that you talk to can get kind of angry and in your face and stuff. And you start to think of them as being the foe. Not true. You know, it's our adversary, the devil, who's the foe. Not these people we're talking to. We forget where our real power source is, who our real power source is in the Lord. And 13, you forget about lost people's real need for Christ. So these are some reasons. And we can send you this if you want. We can send you this this PowerPoint, too, so you can get some of these things. Well, the starting place really is faithfulness And we're looking at heart issues now. Number one, the first bullet point there, identity and mission. That's your starting place. Okay, look at this, at the beginning of the church here in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. Here's your new identity as a Christian. You're going to be my witnesses. You are my witnesses. You might be good ones, you might be bad ones, but you're my witnesses. And so this is a blue pilot light. And so this image has kind of helped me to remember that in the heart of every Christian, this is like on old time stoves, and your furnace has one of these pilot lights that burns at all times. It's a very small flame. It's pretty hot, but it's in there burning 24/7. And within the heart of every believer is this little pilot light. And what it's made up of is the Holy Spirit who now indwells you and your new identity as his child and his witness. It is always in there. You might gum it up. You might never see it. You never might never apply the gas to see it, you know, actually do something. But as you think about it yourself and as you talk to people, as you try to help motivate other people to want to share their faith, you've got to remember that this is inside of the heart of every believer. You shall be my witnesses. And then we're also called ambassadors. This is a really key passage. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's read that together. Yes, we're fully confident we'd rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we'll be at home with the Lord. He's talking about heaven. Verse 9. So whether we're here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him, the Lord, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the word, to the Lord. We work hard to persuade others. God knows we're sincere, and I hope you know this too. Either way, Christ's love controls us. It's the love of Christ that motivates us to go out and share our faith. His love is more powerful than whatever your weakness is too. Just remember that. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves, instead they'll live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So that's the direction of your life as a new creature. Keep going here, verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, a new creature. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. That's evangelism, by the way. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. The one that he just said in verse 19. That's the message of reconciliation. He gave it to us. And so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. There is a lot to think of, and even if you just went to that passage when you're feeling a little woolly about evangelism, that is like the sweetest little meditation reset button for your mind and your heart right there, 2 Corinthians 5. A couple of little points from this is that a lot of the problems are traceable to people forgetting this, that God is the one who is making his appeal. It starts with him. For God so loved the world and that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. Okay, so it's God who initiates this. He wants this to happen more than you do. But the other half of it is that it must be together. It's through us. You've got to have him making his appeal and our willingness. Okay? So let's see some other things. Other bullet points on your sheet there. Hey, results matter, but focus mostly on being faithful to God's call. There are times of being in season and out of season. So just work on being faithful. And this is not just for like evangelistically gifted people. This is a universal call. And you too, leaders, here's my story on this. Our home church was kind of, we weren't seeing too many new people around and not too many of the folks talking about, you know, people they're reaching out to. And I'm like thinking, what is wrong with you people? Come on, flock. Let's do this. And it's just like the Lord went and said, what about you, Phil? What are you, who have you shared your, who have you invited out? And I'm like, I'm too busy leading and coming up with teachings about evangelism. So anyway, you know, he really had to kind of take me to task on that and show me that, no, you know, if you're a leader, lead by example. The Lord's put people into your life, Phil. So, you know, I was like, yeah, all right. So I started calling these people and texting my friends. I'm a musician. I have a lot of music friends. And it's like, why don't you come out to our meeting tonight? I'm like, this probably won't work. Kind of cynical. That's bad. And two guys were like, yeah, what time does it start? We'll be there. So I was like, see, Phil, you know, this is for you too. This is not, just don't expect everybody else to do it and not you. Fourth bullet point, oh my God, this is so important. Feed yourself constantly on Christ's grace. That is what sparks a grateful witness. When you are getting that refreshed every morning, every day, you're in God's word and he's showing you how much he loves you and what he saved you from. You can't motivate yourself by pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. It's got to be the work of God, and he does that through his word. And even if your heart's kind of crusty and uninterested in any one of those list of 13 things, the word is powerful. The scriptures are powerful, and he will show you and renew his grace in your heart. And that is the motivation to speak. It's not the whip. Whoopsh! Go on now. Get out there, little doggies. It is the grace of God that you appreciate deep in your hearts. That what is in the abundance of the heart is what comes out of the mouth. Jesus said that. So if your heart is full and on fire about the grace of God, that's what will come out your mouth. Even to us oldsters. I see a couple oldsters here. This applies to us too. Are any of you guys in a leadership role in your church? Sort of semi-leadership role. Okay. Ish. Okay. This is like one of the most important things. As some of you will be leaders in the future at something, some kind of Christian leadership. This is a really important piece that can't be overlooked, and that is that leaders, one of your most important jobs as a leader is to constantly build convictions from God's word into your people's minds and hearts about evangelism, as among other things. The word's powerful. That's what that scripture says. It's a constant pot stirring needed, not just a one-shot motivational meeting that will act as a cure-all. God, I made that mistake as a young leader so many times. Like, okay, we're going to have this big meeting, big come-to-Jesus meeting about evangelism, and this is going to fix it once and for all. Nah. It has to be something where I'm helping the people in my group to reformulate these convictions constantly from God's word about this. Last few bullet points there. God help me to see the open doors, and he will if you pray for that. Take the verbal faith risks, you know, risk taking. Here's something that is kind of, oh, we don't have a pen there. Ah, we do have a pen here. I forget who it was, but there was saying that as you age, this is age this way, that you have these two things. One is risk taking. One is safety. And the older you get, like somewhere maybe around 30 years old or something like that, when you're young, risk taking, yeah, bring it on. It's great. Safety, wait, what does that mean? But somewhere along here, maybe it's, you know, after marriage or kids or something like that, the two intersect. And it's like you get tempted to just play it safe all the time. You don't want to take risks. And you don't want to take risks in conversations either, too. So, yeah, beware of that. The word can overcome that, though. I'm going to skip that be with non-Christians. I guess that's kind of obvious, isn't it? See that next section, be with non-Christians. You've got to be out amongst non-Christians to be able to talk to them. So there's some scriptures that make that point. I guess summing this all up, these are probably the four biggest things that we see around here, like especially with adult ministry, and that is we've got to address the heart issues of fear of speaking up, and there's a great passage on that. Take risks to invite people out to Bible studies. Don't forget the power of prayer, and don't neglect your quiet time with God, which is the engine that drives you to even want to witness for Him. All right, we're ready for tools. Are there any questions so far on this before we switch away from heart issues and now on to practicals? Yeah. Christ. And think about your own salvation. How many of you here are grateful for the person that came to you and shared the gospel with you? Yeah, exactly. You know, you're grateful for them going out on a limb and caring enough about you to share with you the good news. So just think about that. You're playing that role now with someone else, and good chance they'll be grateful too. So any other before we go on to the tools? Absolutely. What other gift could you possibly do for someone? I like to think of it like the Coast Guard, you know. Like at the end of the day when they're going out and on Lake Michigan and, you know, picking up people that got capsized in a boat or something like that. I mean, it's hard work and stuff, but think of the fact that they're rescuing these people, you know, out in the middle of the waves. And how awesome that is. And you've seen the videos and stuff of people who have been rescued from something by a firefighter. It's like they are so grateful, and they're so grateful for that person who helped them out, who rescued them, you know, that there's actually kind of a special bond there between them. And that's what you can have too, as well, between those sharing the gift and people receiving the gift. There's a great bond there. So, well, shall we skedaddle on here to outreach practices, ideas, and tools? That's this sheet right here. Okay, the first one. Some of these, we're not going to hit all of them, but let's hit some of them. First one is present the gospel at every Bible study meeting, public Bible study meeting, with scripture to penetrate their hearts. The people in your group need confidence that their guests that they finally got to come out are going to hear the gospel given during the teaching. And you need to do that as a leader. One thing we do is we give free books away for first-time guests that are really excellent. I think the best one there is Dennis McCallum's Discovering God. So we give those away to people it's their first time here, and it's an excellent argument for the truthfulness of the gospel. Number two is a home church outreach meeting plan. And that's this extremely complicated grid right here. It's not actually complicated. But the idea here, obviously you can do any kind of chart you want, but sometimes it's easy to just react to things that are going on in your home group instead of have a plan. Like, this helps you to say, this is the series that we're going to do, you know, next fall. Here are some of the events that we want to do that are stepping stone sorts of things, not Bible studies, but like stepping stone kinds of events, which we'll go over in this, where I can't get my buddy out to a Bible study, but I could get him to come out to this. And then, you know, a lot of his myths and wrong ideas that he has about Christianity would probably vanish if he hung out with us doing this, whatever this activity is, to plan some of those things. And that's kind of what's behind this. It just basically goes through all 12 months of the year. What are you doing as far as a series? What are you teaching in your cell group, which is like your men's or women's discipleship group? What about in one-on-one discipleship? Are we taking any, is anyone taking any classes on evangelism? And then the last column there is pre-evangelism events, the stepping stone sorts of things, so which I'm kind of excited to tell you about. Yeah, so how many of your groups have prayer meetings specifically for evangelism? Oh, that's fantastic. Fantastic. Good. Don't stop. There's 4 pages worth of verses on here, which you could use those for a lot of things, but I think it'd be a cool way to start your prayer meeting is to read like one or two of these verses to kind of get everybody's minds and hearts in the right place. Wouldn't that be a sweet way to start a prayer meeting? Like, check out that second one there. Let's see. Where is it? No. Oh, it's a bloody misprint. There's a page missing. Oh, man. Oh, well. Someone, if you got, who's got a Bible here? Sweet. Look up 1 Thessalonians 2:2-4. Oh, approved by God. We're messengers who are approved by God. That's His grace. And so we speak. It's verbal. Go ahead.
Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts.
Okay, in another section, oh wait, go on to 5. Keep going.
As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else.
Yes! Human praise. So a lot of what's underneath your fears, it's the desire to be well regarded by other human beings, to be glorified by them. I don't want to do anything that would jeopardize their view of me. Okay? That's what that's talking about. That's what's underneath it, is desiring human praise. Let that sink in, okay? That's what's underneath a lot of our fears, is a desire for human praise. Nasty. So when you pray together, you can pray through scriptures, names of people, your fears. What are some next steps? Invitations, sensitivity. I have gotten so many great ideas in prayer meetings where I just went in there and I wasn't even really thinking about anything in particular, but someone prayed something where it was like, wow, I am definitely going to talk to my friend over here. I didn't even think about that. You know, the Spirit moves in mysterious ways and can bring about different convictions and directions to take. And then, too, I think I started doing this, and others have too, praying alone daily. How about like before your feet hit the floor? That's what the wooden sort of floor is on your sheet there. Lord, by your grace, today I'm your ambassador. Give me the eyes to notice who you put in my path. Give me the courage to follow your promptings and to speak of you. Help me invite them to come hear about you, Lord. Or here's a shorter version. Dear God, how can I verbalize your gospel today? Empower me to. That's a good prayer to pray in the morning. Here's another one. Lord, I'm listening. Help me to hear and follow your promptings today. I reject cynical unbelief in your Holy Spirit's work in my life. Grant me joy in speaking of you. Now, there's nothing magical about these particular wordings in prayer, but you get the concept of getting before God before your day even starts and your feet hit the floor, to ask Him for that and to help you to see, where he wants to guide you that day with your non-Christian friends. So, book list. You've got a book list in here. Now, when we're talking about, like, what do you study with someone that you're discipling, or what do you, for a men's group or something like that, you know, what are some things that we can study about evangelism? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because here's like 10 options here. We won't talk about all of them, but that witnessing without fear, Bill Bright, that's a good one in that he helps you to see, instead of seeing the people that you run into during the day as just some kind of random meaningless thing, there's actually divine appointments that God has orchestrated for people to come into your path. All right. Probably the this one at the bottom too, a faith worth sharing. So this is this John Miller. He's now deceased, Jack Miller. But this is his story through his entire life of how the way he would approach non-Christians is to talk to them about the difference that the grace of God was making in his life right now, this day, this week. Yes, of course, we are going to talk about, we're going to talk about when I accepted Christ, but I want to talk to you about the difference that Christ is making in my life this week. Then suddenly people's ears perk up and, oh, okay, so like he's making a difference in your life now? Yeah. And in a real way to be able to tell him, like, he just helped my wife and I to resolve this big hairy fight. And we started praying or whatever, you know. And I've told people that before about when the Lord's helped me with my wife in the midst of a conflict. And it's like, that's what they want to know. What difference does God make in your life right now? Not just your old fire insurance policy that's got, you know, a bunch of dust on it, which is important, you know, but they want to know what difference is Christ making in your life now. And then my favorite book on this list is this one. These guys came to the Summer Institute a couple years ago. Lee Strobel, Mark Middleberg, The Unexpected Adventure. Never mind the corny name. The Unexpected Adventure. Don't worry about that. It's actually true. It is an unexpected adventure, and the subtitle is excellent. It's taking everyday risks to talk with people about Jesus. And that is what we're talking about here. Taking everyday risks to talk with people about Jesus. That's kind of a simple way to describe evangelism, but it's really true. And so there's 42 little short stories that these guys have in here about things that really happened in their life as they took that step of faith and took a risk to tell people about Christ. And it's not like every stewardess they ever talked to is like kneeling and praying in the aisle of the airplane or that kind of book, you know. They're real about it. They're real about their failures and stuff. It's an excellent book. It's downstairs. And that would be a great study right there to do that one. Yeah, now go back to this sheet here, outreach practices. I think it's good to use, to carefully use email to talk about with your friends, like who's come to the Lord or who you're going to be talking to that you could use some prayer support for. That's that point. Let's see. Oh, it's on your sheet as number 6 there. High school Bible study open house for parents. These are led mostly by the students, but it helps them bring around their unbelieving parents who may be somewhat curious about what their kid is into. They get to meet other parents who are Christians, hear the good news, and some student testimonies. Do any of you do that in your groups? Sweet. Yeah, that is a great thing. I remember hearing of a story, I won't use any names, but I remember hearing of a story of like a mom that was like her daughter was involved in Xenos, and it's like, what is Xenos? That is a weird name. I'm gonna show up to this baptism and I'm gonna give them a piece of my mind right there. And she was real type A. I'm gonna stand up and just call them to task at their baptism. And you know, she was going to sabotage the thing. So she gets there and starts hearing these student testimonies about how Christ has changed these lives. And here's this non-Christian mom who turns around and gets up at the end to address the crowd and says, instead of sabotaging it, she said, you know, I came here to sabotage it, but I'm walking away so grateful for what you are doing here. And this had such an impact on her life positively for the Lord. So those parent meetings are really important. And I think it's a great prayer to ask the Lord that your entire family would come to know him. You know, seemed impossible in my family, but family of four kids, my sister came to the Lord first, and then my other sister, and then me, and then it was just like, you know, dukes up with the other four. It was three against three for a long time, and I gave up on my dad ever becoming a Christian. I just thought, dude, it is impossible. He has been so negative and resistant and just kind of glancing blows off his old thick noggin, you know. Well, I was wrong. He did come to Christ late in life. And so I'm going to get to see my entire family in the next life. And that has kind of smacked me around with being cynical about these things. The Lord is powerful. You should pray for your family, your entire family. Okay. So this is more just judging from our audience here. We're not going to talk about this very much, but well, probably, you know, in the next 10 years, some of you are going to be parents. Did I just say that? Yes, I did. I know it seems impossible, preposterous, but it's probably true. We have these parent meetings, and a church can do this. The world is rudderless when it comes to raising kids. They don't know what they're doing. And you can bring Christian principles into a meeting for like moms and dads to say, you know, here's how you can come to know Christ. Here's how you can learn from God's ways and how to raise your family and stuff. And a lot of people feel pretty desperate when they get at that stage of like, I've got a kid. I don't know what to do. I need some help. So keep that in mind in 10 years. Grow Your Marriage, that's another one where it's basically these four meetings where you talk about kind of common sense principles of having a good marriage. But then on the fourth week, you talk about the need for forgiveness. And every married person knows, oh my God, that's like oil to the gears of a car. You have to have forgiveness. But where does it come from? Oh, the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where forgiveness, that's your best source right there. We've seen a lot of people that were formerly uninterested feel a need for love that's lacking in their marriage, and answers come around and consider Christ because of this. So I won't belabor that right now. Yeah, those are invitations. Yeah, the evidence of that is the divorce rate. Behind the varnished oaken door is misery a lot of times. Here's something kind of cool, conversation cuisine. This is not a Bible study. This is like a discussion, dinner discussion about things that are important, but not necessarily spiritual. And so in a way, it's kind of a stepping stone where we can talk about things. And here you want the Christians to be outnumbered by the non-Christians, all right? And then, you know, you can get in conversations about, that becomes a springboard to talk about spiritual things too. There are some sample topics. Think anybody in our society cares about any of these things? Yeah, they do. So on the Xenos website, there are teaching notes and even recipes and stuff for how to, and instructions on how to run one of these things. So it's a good stepping stone to a Bible study. Sherry, why don't you talk about your meetup group? Everyone here know what meetup is? Meetup.com? Yeah, no.
It's an international.
Service ministries, that's like serving in the community. Gosh, there's all kinds of ideas. Do you know that on the Xenos website, there's like 53 ideas of ways to get involved in the community, to actually do things that are helpful to the community. But not just to do it because, like, you know, we're good people and that. It's because of Christ's generosity. And so I'll skip that. It's so cool, but I'll skip it. International friendships. That's an excellent ministry. All these international students come here to a university town, and they're like, we don't know anything. We want to have a conversation partner to talk about anything in English. We're trying to learn English, okay? And yes, we do want to know about your cultural things. And yes, we want to know about your religion too. All right, I'll tell you about it. So a lot of people have come to know the Lord through that excellent ministry. The Death Cafe thing, it sounds intriguing. It is intriguing, but I'll let you read that on your own and look at their website. Super cool. Oh, what's this spontaneous prayer? So this is number 14. Ask to pray on the spot with your non-Christian friend about the personal problem they just shared with you. I thought that was madness when I first heard it. But I tried it out once with this dude. Okay, so he hired our band to play at his pub. And we kind of got to know him, got to be friends with him and stuff. And I was like, hey, how's it going, man? He said, honestly, not very good. My wife just served me with divorce papers. Oh, my God, that sucks. I am so sorry to hear that. Tell me some more about it. So he did. And I said, do you mind if I just, like, say a quick prayer with you for this situation? Because that sounds really rough. So we just went over to this corner, and I just prayed a prayer that, you know, I was sincere about it. It was brief. It wasn't, like, time to preach at him in prayer time, but just a very, you know, 30-second prayer, and it just was mind-blowing for him. Like, this is the God that you follow, is that you can turn to him about anything like this and just talk to him like this? And that was very intriguing for him. And in this day and age, I don't know why it is, but it seems like this generation does not have a problem with praying. Now, in my day, when I was young, it was like, what? Get out of here, you weirdo. No, I'm not going to pray with you. But it seems like people are willing to pray now. And so my son and I went to lunch one time, and we came across this, like, tragedy unfolding, this attempted murder in someone's front yard. It was like, oh, man, what is going on here? The cops come, you know, the AK-47s come out. It's just crazy times. And the neighbors are, like, watching from behind the yellow tape. And I get this idea, kind of the Holy Spirit giving me a little elbow, get him to pray. So all these neighbors in a neighborhood that is definitely not known for being, like, lots of Christians, I said, hey, can we circle up and pray for this poor girl who's really in a lot of trouble and just this messed up situation? Without hesitation, they all circled up and we held hands, complete strangers. And I prayed in Jesus' name too, you know, so it was, they knew who I was praying to. And it was just like this really kind of cool experience to, like, talk to God about this awful thing that was transpiring. I have heard about other people doing this, and I think it's really worth trying. You know, just don't view it as like, I'm trying a technique. You know, this is really kind of a practical way to show compassion to someone when they're sharing problems with you. It's just to pray with them. So, okay, we're coming to the end. Oh, what's this? Coffee shop music. You may have musicians in your church who are of professional quality. Right here, the Michigan guys. By secular standards, who could gig at a local coffee shop or pub. Great way to mix non-Christian and Christian friends. Many coffee shops have a music night where even strangers are friendly and strike up conversations. Or do a house show or a yard show in a potentially responsive neighborhood to benefit a good secular charity. It has to be a good band, though. And then BYOB and BYO snacks. So we do this, and it's a lot of fun. Prison ministries. Do you know that there are some really amazing prison ministries where they let you go right in and study the Bible with inmates, juveniles and adults? And so I actually just typed into Google prison ministries, and like the top four were awesome organizations. And, you know, right here in your town. Do you have a prison in your town? Yes, you do. Of course you do. It's Michigan. Tell them what Wine, Women, and the Word is about. How about bros, beer, and Bible? Get a little B alliteration going there. Okay, number 19, affinity groups, ethnic social clubs. Man, there's all kinds of ways that you can get to know people. There's really kind of no excuse for just like, I don't know anyone. I don't know how to get to know someone. There's so many ways. Darts, bowling, old fart soccer. That was important to me at one time when I was an old fart. Volleyball, softball, bicycling, Germans for Irish, German, or clubs for Irish, German, Polish, Italian. Yeah, there's all these kind of like subterranean, no, that doesn't sound right. These clubs that you can meet people, you know. And the last thing I want to say is baptisms. All right, I'll just read this. Extremely penetrating event for the gospel if the baptizees give their real testimonies. You know, not like something they're making up so it sounds good, but real testimonies. Suggest that each testimony is no more than 10 minutes long so it's digestible. And let their Christian friends dunk them, not the minister. Okay? It's more powerful that way. Do a non-lame cookout with that. Okay? Hot dogs and 25 bags of Doritos. No, no. Come on. Do better than that. Don't procrastinate on inviting non-Christian friends. Fairly often, people will get saved at a baptism after hearing several testimonies. This might be one of the most powerful tools on this list. So if you can get your friend to your baptism party to hear these stories about how and why people came to know Jesus Christ. It's so powerful. Hey, so can I end with a song? No, I'm not going to sing it, but it's about prayer. And okay. Ooh, no, I'm kidding. So this is really sweet. And this goes out to my older brethren here, all right? It's about the power of prayer, and it's this. So if my voice starts to leave me and I cannot talk, or if my feet start to fail me and I can't even walk, if my eyes get so weak I can't see my way, I'll never get too old to pray. So as my age lengthens and my days grow few, I want to be used, dear Lord, just like Daniel. Help me to see his example. There are things that you still want me for, because there's a world out there dying without your dear son. They need someone who will pray them on through. Although my earthly frame may not be the same, I'll move mountains just by calling on you. And that's poetic, and please do not write that off, because that is one of the most powerful things, is praying for people where you don't have access into the beliefs of their heart. The Holy Spirit does, and that is unleashed through prayer. For him to reach into the beliefs that are deep in their heart. I have a friend, he's a Christian, but he was a very outspoken atheist and science teacher, and he said that his granny prayed for him for 20 years every Wednesday night, and he finally became a Christian. And that is the thing that he attributes his salvation to more than anything else, is the fact that she prayed for him.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.